Thank you so much for praying for our family and for being faithful in the words of God. All this time that we've been gone, it's a blessing to be able to come back and see faithful churches that are walking in the ways of God. And that's one of the encouraging things with going out on furlough. It's, you know, it's not easy going out on furlough or deputation, you know, but, you know, furlough while having all these kids, you know, had to wake them up quite early this morning. You know, Liz and I were getting going at 5:30 and getting the kids up at 6 o'clock. And, you know, so my youngins are especially a little tired this morning. Thank you for your understanding. But, you know, the thing that is exciting, though, the things that we remind ourselves of is that we have a really special thing to be able to share with you all. We have the words of encouragement of what God is doing over there in Messiah, and just we can be able to encourage your hearts that just like God is working over there, you know, we can be able to share that with you over here, and hopefully that's a blessing to your heart, and hopefully it even, you know, something that I'm always reminded of is that there could be somebody that's listening that is thinking about how God could use them to either start a church in Pennsylvania, that's where I came from, but either over here in your area or over another part of the world. And I hopefully hearing stories of how God is at work over there would challenge somebody's heart in that type of way. So I look forward to sharing this challenge from God's word, and I hope that God will use this in your heart, okay? I hope that you will open your ears to the words of God, and that you will use it, you will let God use this in your heart to change your life. Have good ground this morning, okay, to receive the words of God. And receive the words that I'm sharing, not as being the words of man, but as the words of God, okay? Let's pray this morning, and then we'll look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with me this morning. You know what this assembly needs to hear. I know that they need to hear the words of God, but I pray that you would direct me in what I say. I pray that you would be glorified in all that is done this morning. And I pray this church would bring glory to you in this whole area. And I thank you so much for their faithfulness. And I pray that they would continue to lay aside the things of this life for the rewards that come that are incomparable in the future, in eternity. I pray that you bless this time together this morning. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you got to watch the video this morning, we talked about the very famous story of David and Goliath. In this story, it started off as a normal day for David. He was just taking care of the sheep that morning, and who knows, maybe he was interrupted from from writing another psalm, perhaps. But he ended up leaving his sheep to be tended, be cared for by somebody else, as he went to go do what his dad asked him to do, which was to go over to the battlefield and to bring back a report, bring some foods over for his brothers. I think it said some cheeses and some other foods and such there, and to bring back a report. What's going on with all the brothers over there? And as you know, in this story, it wasn't something great. It was actually a very shameful thing that was happening over to the people of Israel. Saul had brought the army of Israel over into this, not into this valley, but the Philistines are on one side of the valley and the Israelites are on one side. And for 40 days, this man, Goliath, had been coming and shouting out curses against the people of Israel, had been cursing God himself, and had been challenging the people of Israel with a duel, okay, saying, do you think that you have anybody that is in comparison to the strength of the Philistine army? And he perhaps was modeling his strength down there with his all his armor that he had, and he said, go ahead, I represent the Philistine army. Let's see what you have. And he was challenging them, and for all these days, morning and evening, all that the Israelites were doing were running away. They were scared about what was going on. And so David, this is the scene that he arrived on. He came, it says he got off the carriage, and then he was going to look for his brothers. And as Goliath's routine was, he started shouting out these things against the people of Israel, against God. And as you know, soon enough, David went and challenged this Goliath. Now, I want you to take a look at verses 42 through 47. And I'll actually ask you to join me on verses 46 and 47. You could join me when we get down there, and we'll read those two together. But I'm going to start at verse 42 right now. It says, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods." That cursing didn't have any effect on David. "And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." And join me in verse 46. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Verse 47, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." I want to focus your attention on the end of verse 46. David wanted to make a message that was very clear to his people and also to all of those Philistines that were listening, and of course to Goliath himself. He said at the end of verse 46, "that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Goliath was making a boast and saying, "You know what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to make your body into a meal for the birds. I'm going to go feed you to the birds. I'm going to feed you to the wild beasts of the field." And David said, "Actually, no, that's not what's going to happen. It's going to be your body that is going to be the meal for all the animals today. And it's going to send a very clear message, both to you and to all the Philistines and to all my people of Israel who are back here trembling or watching scared behind him, that there is a God in Israel." At this point, it looked like there wasn't any God in Israel, because nobody was living like there was any God in Israel. They were, well, we're going to learn all about that. But it's a very important thing that we make it known in this area and in all of the world around that there truly is a God, the one and only God, that is at work within us. That is the message that we want every person to know, because if there's no real God in this world, then we might as well just go live however we want to live. But do you worship and serve the one and only God? Okay, it's going to show by the way that you live. The way that you live communicates a message to all the people around what you actually believe. And there was a message that David said, "I want to be made clear there is a God in Israel." And so if you look at, you don't have to turn actually over here, I'll read it to you. In Ephesians 3:21, it says, "Unto him, unto God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." God is to be receiving glory from our church. Just our church, your church here, okay? From all of our churches, God is to be receiving the glory. And David understood that back in that time, the Israelite people were to be a beacon of truth to all the people around, all the nations around, that there was a real God in their nation. But at this point, it was nothing but shame. They were living as if there was no God. Now, we want all of the people in this area to know that this church right here, McGregor Road Baptist Church, serves the one and only true God. Now, how is God going to end up receiving glory in a church? Because clearly, the rest of the Israelites were not bringing glory to God, okay? At that point, there was a lot of shame, like I mentioned a couple times. There was a lot of shame upon Israel at this point. But David brought glory to God. That is the person we want to be, okay? It doesn't have to be just one person in all this world giving glory to God. No, you can give glory to God. You can give glory to God. You can give glory to God. Each one of you individually can bring glory to God's name in the way that you live. So here are three things I want you to see in the life of David of how he brought glory to God's name back then and how you could bring glory to God to God's name today. First of all, it's through people that take action, through people that live by faith, okay? David, he took action. When he heard the cursing of Goliath, he knew something has to be done about this. This man can't continue speaking like this. He can't be bringing disgrace to God's name. Now, if you were to listen, this is what I want you to think about, like David, I want you to listen to the words, that the things that are happening in this world. There are things that bring disgrace to God's name, that cause God to look as if he doesn't have power. And if you think about, you might think about some as I give you some examples here this morning. For unbelievers, you know, you look at the idols that they worship. Idols, do they have any power at all? Is that, as that man, you know, there's quite a few places around Thailand that I've seen, you know, the guys out there with certain stone-working tools, either chipping away or using some kind of machinery to smooth out the surfaces. Does that man, as he continues to refine that rock, is a god being formed inside that thing? No, it's the most ludicrous thing. My son, he makes some fun little Lego things. But, you know, I know for sure none of those are a god, okay? No matter how intricate they are, I'm not bowing down to any of those things, okay? And there's nothing that this world can create that is so ornate, so amazing, that we can all of a sudden say, wow, that must be God, okay? There's nothing that man can create that is God. And those things, they defy who God is, okay? But the creation of God does not create its creator. We are the creation of God. And so any person that is creating those things is bringing dishonor to God. How about those that are trusting in pleasures, okay? Those things, instead of trusting in, as in comparison to trusting in what God is able to do, okay? There is nothing that this world can offer us that is in any kind of comparison in the value of the things that God himself can give us. And so if we're trusting in those things, and I'll say many people in this world are living for those things, thinking that those things are going to be everything that they could ever want. You know, you see some amazing houses that are people's dream houses over here, the things that they grew up wishing that they could have, and now they have them. Those things are in defiance to God, okay? There is nothing that can compare to what God can give in eternity, okay? And so You see these things. People are living for these things, living for these idols, living for the pleasures of this world. Sometimes it's not an object. Sometimes people are just living to travel the world, to be able to see all the beauties. And there's a lot of beautiful things there in this world. And I'm not discounting the beauty of some of these houses that people have or the objects that people possess. There's a lot of beauty. But if you worship those things, if you live for those things, that is the work that the devil is doing in this world. He's blinding people's eyes to what God really is, and he's blinding people to what treasure truly is. Okay? He will make you think that in comparison to the soul of a man, the things that this world can offer are so much better. Your soul, okay, if you're lost today, understand that your soul is so much more valuable to God than the cattle on a thousand hills, okay? Than anything that this world has. Your soul is so valuable that God sent his son to this earth to die, to redeem your soul. Your soul is the most valuable thing. God doesn't want to have more objects from this world of the things that he created. He wants you to choose to believe in him, to repent of your sin and turn to him. And he did all that he did to redeem your soul, because that is the thing that is precious to him. But this, the devil, he is blinding people's eyes. He's making you think that the things of this world are valuable. The idols in this world are valuable. Now, here's something else for unbelievers. Sorry, for believers, okay? Now, sometimes we get blinded by what the devil is doing too. You know, we say that God has all power, that he can do all things. He can be with us through any situation. But many times when we experience difficult things in life, what do we go to trust in? Oh, I need some more money to solve that problem. Become more educated in certain areas or something like this to get me through this problem. We don't go looking to God to be able to resolve the situation, because even though we say with our mouth, God is all powerful, God could bring me all things, we end up trusting upon our own self to bring us through these things. That is another work that the devil does, that he causes us to think that God does not have all power. And so I want you to understand is that David, when he heard those words, he saw the fear that was in the Israelites' eyes. He heard the words of Goliath and how he was cursing his people. And all he saw was, wow, the devil is at work over here. Nobody here believes that God is all powerful. Now, I mean, our people are to be the light to these people, but they're acting as if there is no God. Those people are trusting in their idols and their strength, and they don't believe that God can actually be able to defeat them and is in control of this whole situation. And the devil is at work here, and I need to bring some glory to God in this situation. Guys, listen. God can be glorified in your life. He can give you victory over sin, because he can. There is no sin that is more powerful that you cannot get victory over. Right. God can bring you through all those things. God can bring you through any situation that you are facing, because God is all powerful. He can be able to guide you in his words. He can be the food that you need to be able to work through anything. Don't trust in yourself to get through it. Look to God. He is the one that can bring deliverance to you. And if you are talking to those that are in this world that think that they could trust in the riches of this world, or they could trust in idols to be able to bring them through, help them to understand the devil is blinding their eyes. He's making them think that there is no God. Open their eyes through sharing the words of Scripture and showing them God can bring them deliverance, that God is real. So it's going to take somebody that takes action. When you hear the devil at work in this world, when you see him at work, then be someone that takes action. What does God want me to do? I am going to do that so that God is glorified in that person. Also, David, like I said, he saw the fear that was in the Israelites' eyes. He tried to remind them, God is going to be glorified. God is going to take away the shame that's on the nation of Israel. You guys, you ought to do this. And, you know, he wasn't a soldier himself. He was just going out there on an errand for his dad. And so he was just, at the beginning, he was just reminding them, you know, you guys can be able to do this in the power of God. You can be able to go ahead and win this battle. Go ahead. Well, what kind of, he started reminding them of some of the promises that that Saul had made. As in, he goes, if you end up winning this battle, what is King Saul going to do for you? And they would recount, well, he's going to give us great riches. He's going to make our house tax-free in Israel. And on top of that, we can marry his daughter. Okay? And so he's like, there's all these blessings that you know that they could get. So he's like, that's right, there's good things in store for you, so go ahead, do what God said, you know, do what God would want done. Go ahead and fight this Goliath. You can be able to defeat him. God's going to be with you. Is God real or not? And one by one, the people would turn him down. He must have made quite a stir, because pretty soon, King Saul went and called him in and said, okay, what is this commotion that's going on? Somebody's talking like that they could actually win this battle. This is the best news that I've heard in the last 40 days of this battle. And so he went and called David over, and he's like, okay, you know, David, in order to be able to win this battle, I know what you can do. You can wear this armor, and this will give you your best chance. And it all fell off. Okay. But David, he saw the strength, he saw the fear that was in the Israelites' eyes and the king's eyes of how they were going to ever win this battle. And he reminded them of some of the riches that they would receive. And I want to encourage you in your battle, okay, as you're living for the Lord, you're fighting against the flesh, against the devil that is at work in this world, I want you to understand that there are rewards for those that choose to lay off the things of this life in order to have Christ. There are rewards. If you look in, why don't you go ahead and turn there, Mark chapter 10, and we'll look at verses 27 to 31. Mark chapter 10, and we'll look at verses 27 to 31. Actually, look at verse 28. Start at verse 28. It says here, then Peter began to say unto him, unto Jesus, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children's and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Jesus reminded him after Peter said, we've left everything behind to follow you. Jesus said, you know, there's no person that has left everything that will not receive things as well, spiritual things, okay? And he goes through and lists all these things, and these are eternal rewards that he's talking about. And so, and it says, and in the life to come, there are rewards that you will get for following Christ now and in the life to come. You know, I was talking about earlier about boss, about the decision that he made because he saw that working on the Sabbath day, working on Sunday, was something that God was not pleased with. And he made the decision to follow Christ and to stop working on that day and to worship God on that day. And I believe that one of those spiritual rewards is that his wife was saved. Because of his faithfulness to Christ, because of his choice to follow in there, I think that that's like one of these examples, one of those rewards that he received in this life now and in the life to come as well. Okay, so I want you to see here that it's not as if when you follow after Christ, there's nothing, that there's no blessings that are going to come. Just like David, he received some rewards in this life, and of course he's going to have many more rewards in heaven one day. There are also rewards that, like David reminded those men of, I want to remind you of. There are rewards for following after Christ. But you have to choose to read God's word as you listen to the preaching that Pastor Kaiser brings here and says, you want to walk after Christ in this way. If you are a person that takes action like David does, puts faith in those words of God, then there are rewards for you. So also David, he reminded himself of the power of God, okay? That he had reminded himself that he had seen God do work in killing a bear through him, killing a lion. And this was something that God used in his life. Again, you know, there was many other difficult things that he experienced in his life, but I think he just added Goliath onto that list. He had killed a lion, he had killed a bear, and he had killed Goliath. And so he knew that through all the difficult things that he experienced in life, he knew that God was his refuge and strength, okay? He was able to go to God in all these things. So David, he reminded the men of the power of God, he reminded himself of the power of God. Ultimately, David volunteered himself. Nobody else was taking him up. He was reminding them of the blessings that they would get for following after God, reminded them of the power of God. Then he had to say, well, if nobody else is going to follow after God, I am going to do that. He reminded himself of the power of God, and he volunteered himself. And sometimes you're going to find in your life, you're going to be the only person. You might find out your spouse, your children don't agree with your decision to follow after Christ, and you just have to read God's word again, pray, and be like, okay, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? Right. But regardless, I am going to do what you want me to do. Amen. It's those people that end up bringing glory to God's name. Right. Now, I want you to see, second of all, that it is through men that are willing to give up the things that are in this life. So David, first of all, he put faith into what he knew that God wanted him to do. He took action. That's what I want you to see. And then also, you have to be a person that's willing to give up the things of this life. You know, he knew that he might not ever marry the king's daughter, live in a house that was tax-free, get great riches. He knew that if I die, those things aren't going to happen. But he knew that he was going to do. He was willing to give up all of those things in order to bring glory to God's name. You know, even his brother, the firstborn son was Eliab. In fact, Eliab was the one that when Samuel was going to anoint the next king of Israel, and he was looking at all the sons, he saw Eliab and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is in front of me. He's like, this guy, you know, I don't know. He looked kingly. He looked like a guy that he's like, if there was ever a king, you know, I know Saul, he didn't work out there. But now as I look on Eliab, this is the guy. But it's incredible because, you know, God told Samuel, he goes, God sees differently. I see differently than what you see. I see the heart. And Eliab's heart became very clear in this story because he began to condemn David, his younger brother, and say, what are you doing here? Would you leave your couple sheep within in the wilderness? You're just coming here to see the battle. And he started mocking his brother. His heart was clearly revealed, but David, he did not cower underneath his brother and say, oh, you're right. Yeah, I should just go, you know, bring the snacks Dad sent me with and go on back home. I'll see you later. Hope you live. No. No, he didn't say that. He just made a decision. It doesn't matter what my brother thinks, right? Okay? I know what God is able to do, and I am going to make the choice to do this. And, you know, he reminds me of, you know, just even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who made the choice. They're like, you know, I know that God could bring us through this. I know that that if God desires, we are not going to burn in your fiery furnace, okay? But he goes, if God does say that's what your plan is for our life, okay? If God does say that that's going to happen, then we're okay with that. Amen. We will not bow down to your graven image. And that's what we need to be. People that bring glory to God's name. And those men definitely brought glory to God's name. Yeah. If you want to be a person who brings glory to God's name, you need to volunteer yourself and you need to have a heart of being willing to give up even your own life also for Christ. Yeah. Those kind of people are the ones that bring glory to God. You know, there are many people for the sake of the Bible. You know, you have a lot of Baptist history over there. And they did not come through the fiery furnace on the other side. Okay? They died for the word of God. They died for the words of Jesus Christ. They were willing to give up all. And, you know, those people, we read their stories, and God is glorified in their life. You know, some of these people are not well known. There, no doubt, I mean, I say for sure, there are so many people that have died for the sake of the gospel that we have no idea what their names are. But God knows their names. And maybe in a small community, they brought glory to God in that, and maybe there were some people that were saved through that, and those people will then be in eternity because of that person being willing to give up their life. So you might not be like David, where the whole world ends up knowing your name. Right. The whole world ends up seeing you and recognizing the glory that is brought to God because of David. You might not be that kind of person, but you could bring glory to God's name in your family.
That's right.
You could bring glory to God's name maybe in your neighborhood or maybe even a broader area. We don't know, but if you don't make this choice in your heart that you're going to be willing, the person that raises your hand and says, I'm going to walk by faith, and also I'm going to be a person that's willing to give up the things of this life, then God will not be glorified in your life, guaranteed. You know, that first point that I was talking about, how he volunteered. Who was bringing glory to God's name? Were all those Israelites that were all over there with all their armor and such, were they bringing glory to God's name? No, they weren't. Now, if you went to any one of them and you asked them and said, are you Israelites? Are you the people of God? They would say, yes, we are the followers of the one and only God in this world. They would be very proud to say that. As I would say, most all of you would say, you know, if you've trusted in Christ and somebody asked you, you know, are you a follower of the of God? Do you believe that there is one and only one God? You would say, yes, and then that's the person that I follow. But you might be like these Israelites, who it was in name only, in word only. Was God glorified by those Israelites for all those 40 days? Not at all. God was not glorified that. There was shame that was brought upon them. And if you are not being like David and stepping out by faith, then you could be bringing shame upon the name of God. Living as if he is not powerful, that he cannot work inside your life, brings shame upon God. When you say that I am a follower of God and you don't do the things that he says, that is shameful. But when you are a person who volunteers to walk by faith, a person that is willing to give up the pleasures that your body wants to enjoy, you're willing to give those things up, those are the people that bring glory to God's name. Amen. What kind of person are you? You know, in Luke chapter 9, verse 57, you don't have to turn over there, but it says, and it came to pass that as Jesus went, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. There are a lot of people that will say, I will follow Jesus. I will become a Christian. But then as Jesus starts making the claims in the word of God, well, then you're going to have to live like this. You're going to have to give up these things. You're going to have to do these things. And then all of a sudden, they stop following him. Okay? It becomes very clear then who is a follower of God for real and who is not. Okay? Just because you say it doesn't mean that you are. God sees your heart. God saw Eliab's heart. God saw David's heart. And we see it then in the actions that those two men made. Lastly, I'm just going to say very quickly, it is through men that believe that God is all they need. David, he used what God had given him. He had a slingshot, and even though the armor did not fit him that Saul had, he didn't have all the equipment like all the others, he said, okay, I know this looks bad. I can't fit in your clothes, okay? He goes, I have this sling, and this sling worked for me before, and I believe it's still going to work for me now. And it's not the sling, really, that's going to save me in the first place. It's going to be God that's going to save me. Goliath, he was boasting about his sword, his spear, his shield. And he goes, and with these things, I'm going to make you into a meal for all the animals. But David said, it's not going to be those things that is going to bring you the victory. The thing that's going to bring me the victory is not that I have any of those things, because I don't. The thing is not that's going to bring me the victory is not even that I have this sling. The thing that's going to bring me the victory is I have God, okay? And that is all that I need. The Israelites, they had a lot of armor. These were all soldiers. They were prepared however the Israelites were prepared for armor, for a battle. But they were not walking after God. They believed that they needed something else. Even though they had everything that a soldier could need, they believed they needed a superhero. They needed, they saw that Goliath and the words that he was saying, like, oh, and his height and everything like that. And they're like, oh, there's no way that little me can be able to do it. We need a super Israelite to come to the rescue and to be able to do this. But God doesn't look for superheroes, okay? He doesn't look for the people that have all of the eloquence of speech, the stature, the poise of a wonderful Christian, okay? Now, what he is looking for is people that will walk by faith. They will look. God is looking for people. You know, Saul was used by God until he became big in his own eyes. That's right. David was used by God because he remained humble. You know, God uses unlearned and ignorant men. God uses fishermen and tax collectors. God uses sinners. That's right. So you are all, you can all be used by God. That's right. If you are humble, you're willing to submit yourself to the words of God. Right. Doesn't matter what happens to you, what Goliath comes against you, God can be able to use you. But you have to submit yourself to the words of God. You know, in Romans, I want you to go ahead and turn over here because I really love this passage. In Romans chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. Romans chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. It says here, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, God had a plan for every person that would believe upon his name. His plan was to continue to make each and every one of you into the image of Christ. All the way until the day that you die, that is God's plan to continue to develop you and take out that wicked sin that is destroying your life and to continue to purify you, justify you, glorify you, all these things, okay? God had a plan, and if God is for us, you know, God's plan, that's God's plan for us, who can be against us, okay? If you walk according to God's plan, then God's plan is going to be worked out in your life. You know, God was glorified that day in the life of David because of the choices that he made, because he followed after what he saw God wanted him to do. So is this church bringing glory to God? Now, when we say this church, you know, we're not talking about this church building, but each one of you individually have a responsibility to bring glory to God. And it's not just going to be in the words that you say, like, I serve God. It's the things that you do that show whether you truly believe that God is God. Amen. When you read the words of God, do you see, oh, this is the way that God wants me to live? I am going to change my life to go in this way, even though it's against what everybody else, what I've grown up doing and what everybody else does. I'm going to live in this way, and I'm just going to trust that God's will is going to be done in my life. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever happens, I am just going to pray that God will be glorified. Amen. And, you know, no person that has trusted in God has ever been disappointed. You know, the things that are sad and disappointing are when we go our own ways. And those are the things that produce death, that produce sadness and sorrow in our life. So today, has your life been giving glory to God? And how are you going to live today? What does God want you to do? How does God want you to change? Because God can be glorified in your life if you submit yourself to Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we have nothing to worry about in this life or in the next when we put our faith in your words. I thank you, Lord, that that is the type of trust that we can have. We don't have to trust in our own selves, hoping that we are going to somehow perfect our life and make things better, but we could trust in you because you have all power. I do pray that you would be glorified in this church. I do pray that as you continue to lead me, that you'd be glorified over in Thailand. I pray that that we would not walk after our own desires, but we would seek your face and just go in those ways. I thank you, Lord, that you are such a great God, and we can trust in you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.